Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
I laid an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Mark Reardon.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
This is The Mark Reardon Show.
Hey, welcome to The Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. I hope from the bottom of my heart that you will show me a little R-E-S-P-I-C-T today. Because I'm sitting in for Mark, and let me tell you know, Mark's got a huge chair. You could fit like eight people in it. It's a huge chair, and it's hard to fill that chair. And I'm doing the best that I can. I brought three of my friends with me just to try to fill the Mark Reardon chair today. Glad you're with us this afternoon. And as we get the show started, I want you to think about something for me. I want you to think about the worst day you've ever had on the job. Now, I'm not talking about crisis involving your family or family members passing away. I'm talking about at your job, at your workplace, wherever that might be, even if you work inside the home. What's the worst day you've ever had? Dave, I want to ask you, before we jump into this, what's your worst work day?
Oh, I would need about four hands for that, Brad, just to count that.
Give us a little taste of your worst. I know I sprung this on you.
I don't know. There were a few days, and it was nobody's fault. There were a few days just around the start of the pandemic when the office started to go from multiple people down to just a skeleton crew.
Sure.
Those were some hard days. Those were some very hard days. And again, nobody's fault. Just, you know, just when you're working with such a little staff and everyone has to do a lot more, and you're just not used to that, and then you have to go home and all the COVID stuff you've been covering all day, and then you go home and you see it on TV and you hear
it
on the radio.
You
can't get away from it. You just want to shut your brain off. Those were some hard days, plural. So I'm going to go with that.
Going to go with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up about the worst day is because, folks, I'm going to tell you, Friday was President Biden's worst day ever on the job. There's just no question about it. Think about all three of these things happened to President Biden in 1 hour. In one hour. What happened was is that, first of all, the Pentagon acknowledged that the drone strike in Afghanistan killed 10 civilians, including seven children, and none of them were terrorists. That's awful. It's tragic. But the Pentagon had to come out and take the blame for this. And literally the same hour, the Food and Drug Administration, we were coming on the air here, Dave, on Friday, and we were having to scramble because there was so much news happening all at once. And the FDA panel voted against the recommendation of President Biden to give booster vaccines to everyone over the age of 16. And President Biden literally 2-3 weeks ago promised this was going to happen on January 20. I even was counting on it because I'm going to Florida this week. And I'm thinking, hey, I want to get my booster shot before we go.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen now, because even though I look 65, I'm nowhere near the age of 65. I just have a 65-year-old's hairstyle. But other than that, there's no resemblance. And then literally that same hour, and I think it was like around 3 o'clock on Friday, France announced they were recalling their French ambassadors from the United States over this deal where basically France got cut out of a $70 billion, that's billion with a B, billion-dollar submarine deal with the Aussies. And that all happened in 1 hour. And I'm thinking, this is President Biden's worst day on the job. Now, we've all had personal tragedy, and I'm not going to minimize that. But when you talk about issues you have at work, this was President Biden's worst day. And I wanted to bring this up because it's not just me who noticed this. I don't know if you watched any of the news programs over the weekend, but the news programs were also pointing out that Biden's got some huge issues. And, you know, when you lose the mainstream media in the fight for the narrative every day, when you lose the mainstream media as a Democrat in the White House, folks, you've lost it. I mean, those are your biggest cheerleaders. I mean, they're basically, if you think about it, CNN is an unpaid contributor to the Biden campaign. And so this was what Chuck Todd had to say on Sunday when he was asked by Willie Geist about, you know, this has been a bad couple of days for President Biden. Here's Chuck Todd.
Well, look, I think he's got a pretty big credibility crisis on his hands because all of these problems in some ways showed up after he said something basically the exact opposite. Afghanistan withdrawal wasn't going to be messy. This wasn't going to look like Saigon. The booster shots, he came out and essentially said 8 months and even indicated maybe we should start it as soon as 5 months. Now we're not sure if anybody under 65 is going to get a booster shot. So, you know, he's had, and of course the border has been, you know, whether this, we can talk about the border problems. You could say there's years in the making. But it's pretty clear we have a bigger problem now than we've had in years. And this is these policies have turned into becoming a magnet. So he's got a lot of work to do. The UN speech, look, he's got some credibility issues on the world stage to see, make sure that people still view America as a, not just a stable democracy, but a competent leader of the free world right now.
Now, to me, I don't know if that struck you as being as astonishing as it did to me. Because think about when candidate Joe Biden was running for office. Think about the things that were said during the course of the campaign. That the America is a laughingstock on the world stage. These are things that I took notes at or took notes on during the debates or during the town hall meetings where then Vice President Biden would say, we're a laughingstock on the world stage. Our allies cannot trust us. Our European friends and trading partners don't trust us. And we need to restore credibility to the White House. Those are things that President, then Vice President Biden said. But look at where we are today. France has recalled their ambassadors. There's, you have to understand diplomatically, that is the highest level of a slap in the face that one country can give another is to recall your ambassador. There is nothing more than that other than severing all diplomatic ties and closing your embassy. Now, France hasn't done that, but recalling your ambassador is the one step below closing your embassy. That's how upset France is. They're one of the main members of NATO. And speaking of NATO, did you read whenever we pulled out of Afghanistan with apparently no plan, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, all of our NATO partners were caught by surprise. That means England, means Italy, Germany, all of those countries who are our greatest European allies were caught short because there was no plan to pull us out of Afghanistan. So if you look at the three pillars, we're going to go through those here, the three pillars of Biden's campaign promises. Number one, restore credibility, America's credibility abroad. There's a fail on that right now. Big F. And I don't mean anything more than that other than a grade. But that's what he gets. And then the second one was to stop the divisiveness in our own country. And then candidate Vice President Biden was talking about how Trump just was so divisive that America, he was dividing America, that America was fighting with itself because of who President Trump is and was. And yet, if you look at the polling data, just released today polling data from the Monmouth University polling, which is considered an A-plus poll nationwide. This is not like a some push poll that's being designed to get a certain response. Monmouth University shows that only 29% of Americans think the country is headed in the right direction. 29%. And a strong majority of 65% of Americans think that America is on the wrong track. Now, if President Biden's goal was to unite America, how's that working out? How's that working out? You know, at some point during Reagan, when he was running for re-election, he said, how are you doing over the past 4 years compared to the previous 4 years? Are you doing any better now than you were during those prior 4 years? That's to say, look at what I've done and judge me based upon where the country is compared to where it was when I took office. And yet, if you look on that second pillar of President Biden's campaign platform to stop the divisiveness domestically caused by President Trump, how's that working out? How's that working out? 29% of Americans think the country is headed in the right direction, and 65% say it's in the wrong direction. 46% approve of President Biden's job approval, and that's down from 54% when he took office. That's a pretty steep drop. I've seen a lot of polls having that number down close to 40%, and a clear 46% disapprove of Biden's job performance. And again, I've seen that number in the low 50s, depending on which poll you look at. And when asked about Congress, only 22% of Americans said they approve of Congress's job performance, while 65% disapprove. Who controls the House of Representatives? Who controls the U.S. Senate? Congress is controlled by the Democrats, and yet only 22% of Americans approve of what they're doing. Now, there is more than 22% of America that would be considered socialists. They don't approve. And yet that approval rating is abysmal. So when you look at those, the second part of Biden's pillar, his tripartite trilogy, if you will, of campaign promises, he fails on point one. He fails on point two. Number three, stop the COVID pandemic. Stop the COVID pandemic. He has made that his central mission of his presidency. Didn't get the booster shots. As of today, United States is now averaging more than 145,000 confirmed COVID cases per day, compared to a low of about 8,500 per day 3 months ago. So just in the last 3 months, we've gone from 8,500 per day to 145,000 per day. How's that working out for you, Joe? So when you think about your worst day on the job, it seems like last Friday, all of these things really just came together for President Biden to say, you know, that was a bad day. And how did he respond to that bad day? Well, of course, he went on vacation like he does every weekend. So instead of knuckling down, instead of working the phones, instead of studying policy, instead of doing the things you should be doing as the president, I guess he went out for ice cream at Camp David. I don't know what he did. The dude really, really likes his ice cream. But that's not the way you respond. When you have issues at work, think about your own life. When you have issues at work, what do? You work harder. You put in some extra time. You do the job that needs to get done in order to do your job well. You don't go on vacation. And yet that's exactly what President Biden did. And that's unfortunate, because that just exemplified and really magnified all of the problems that President Biden seems to be having. Hey, you know, somebody else that's having some problems, Brian Laundrie. You know, he's got some issues going on right now, obviously, with the Gabby Petito case. We're going to talk to, after this break, we're going to talk to St. Charles County prosecuting attorney Tim Lomar. Not that he has anything to do with this case, but he has the experience and the knowledge to know what's going on in an investigation like this. We're going to talk to him right after this. The Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in for Mark today on 97.1 FM Talk. That went all night long, but
it ain't my fault. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young in this afternoon. And of course, one of the other lead stories that are in the news, it's in the news right now, is the Gabby Petito case. I mean, you can't go anywhere to get out away from this case. And it's very tragic. It's heartbreaking when you see, obviously, this is a couple that looked like they were in love, and yet there's all these other issues and lots of forensic evidence that they're trying to compile. And Brian Laundrie, who's the person of interest, is now apparently disappeared like a Doug Henning trick. So to try to break down what the police, what prosecuting attorneys, what the FBI is going to be going through to try to get to the bottom of this case, I reached out to St. Charles County prosecuting attorney Tim Lomar. Not that he has anything to do with this case, because he doesn't, but he's an expert in how you put together a criminal case to investigate a possible murder. Hey, Tim Lomar, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Hi, Brad. Great to be with you.
Glad you could make time for us today. So I set up the situation with Gabby Petito. And again, I want to stress, it's not that you have anything to do with this, but you've been involved with some big cases over the years, including the Pamela Hupp case. And so I wanted to reach out to you and give us a peek based upon your expertise in terms of what's going on right now to investigate, to find out what happened to Gabby and to locate Brian Laundrie. Give us an idea of what's going on right now behind the scenes from your experience.
Sure. Well, you know, anytime you've got a missing person like this, and you have good information that this person was not involved in, you know, otherwise illegal activity, one of the first places you're going to look is to those closest to her, whether that's as a suspect or to get more information, to try to find out what may have been going on in her life. Were there certain demons she was battling? Was she involved in something that you know, very few people knew about? So that's where the investigation would start. And you know, it's not surprising that all eyes right now appear to be on the fiance.
Well, is there a possibility here? And I guess let me start the question this way. From my perspective, we knew early on, once she was reported missing, that there was something pretty hinky about Brian Laundrie in terms of his, he lawyered up instantly, he refused to cooperate, he didn't have a story. Would it have been possible legally, from your perspective, to keep some surveillance on him to find out where he goes and what he's doing? And because right now he's disappeared into the wind, and at least according to public reports, we don't know where he is. Would it have been legal to follow him at that point just as a person of interest?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, especially in hindsight, a lot of people might ask that question. You know, it depends. Certainly surveillance is legal in most situations. But when it comes to things like searching his phone records, searching his devices, GPS locations on his phone, for example, you can't do any of those things unless you have a search warrant. And the only way to get a search warrant is to have probable cause. And probable cause is evidence-based conclusions that it's more likely than not that if this search warrant is granted, we may find evidence of more criminal activity. So my sense is that's probably where they're falling short. They don't have much to go with here.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of just pure old school surveillance, the new school surveillance we like to do with the phones and technology and web-based devices, just can't quite get there without probable cause.
Right. And that's something I really want to follow up on, because as I've been discussing this case, as you know, I'm an attorney. And as I've talked about this case with friends and family members, I get these same questions. And what I've tried to point out to folks is, just because a guy looks suspicious, that's not enough of a justification to get a warrant. I mean, I wouldn't want someone to get a warrant on me just because, he looks kind of suspicious. I mean, that's not a basis for a warrant. And so procedurally, Tim, there had to be some evidence of wrongdoing before the prosecuting attorneys in this case could go get a warrant to start that search process.
Absolutely. And, they may very well be on the right track to establishing probable cause. If I remember correctly, what I read, there's been a police report that's been at least released on some level, but it's been heavily redacted. So that would lead me to believe that there's certainly information they have. And I would think at this point, as this case has become so high profile, so many different agencies are involved, they do have good intelligence, I'd have to think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right now it's probably premature. And, as these things play out on TV and social media, it begs the question, okay, why aren't you moving faster? Well, unfortunately, if you really want to do things the right way for the not only for the victim's family, but for the suspect's family or the suspect himself, you got to do things the right way. And justice is slow sometimes.
Well, we're talking to St. Charles County prosecuting attorney Tim Lomar, and you bring up a good point, and I want to ask you about this. I've read lots of, I don't do any criminal law, but I've read lots of anecdotal evidence where juries today have become CSI-ified, meaning they think that when the case comes to court, that every angle is going to be, they're going to have evidence down to the minutest detail for every case, and they're all going to get this evidence in 28 minutes or less. And of course, you and I know that's patently absurd, but have you seen that as a problem because of the proliferation of crime shows on television? People think that there's the ability to obtain evidence in ways that may not exist in real life.
No question about it. So I see it most often in grand juries. And as you know, the grand jury is sort of the entry level into the criminal justice system for many cases. So it's early on in the case. So while we may have enough evidence to charge the case, we're still gathering evidence. And so most oftentimes that is maybe, say, forensic evidence from a cell phone or DNA evidence or gunpowder residue testing. Those things take a long time. And so it never fails. We'll have a case like that, and the grand juror might say, well, where's the DNA testing? Or where's the forensics testing? You got to remind them, it's not a crime show with four commercials. It's it's real life.
Well, I looked at the warrant that was issued, at least the only one that we've seen as of about an hour ago. And the one warrant issued, apparently there was an external hard drive that was found inside of their vehicle. And the warrant is for the hard drive. So walk us through at this point, investigators and police and authorities, they would have a lot of an enormous ability, wouldn't they, forensically, to pick apart this hard drive, to find out any information on that hard drive, and then see if that leads to a new or additional evidence?
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that latest development, but generally speaking, that's the potential goldmine in an investigation. It's when you can get the legal authority to forensically examine some sort of computer device or some sort of phone or a hard drive, anything like that. Because as we know now, I think everybody knows, you leave a digital trail anytime you do anything on any of those devices. And so many, many times in a vast majority of our cases, we get really valuable, rich evidence based upon piecing things together from these computer devices. So I would imagine they're probably on the road to finding something interesting here.
And from your perspective, again, I'm only asking you your opinion. This is obviously not a case that you're working on or have any involvement with. And we also know constitutionally that you cannot take someone's silence and use that as evidence against them. But in this particular case, would it be possible, from your professional opinion, to show that at least we think we know that there was a murder committed, the body hasn't been identified, but it matches her description? That combined with the silence of the boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, combined with his disappearance, can those things be put together as a basis for a warrant to investigate Brian Laundrie in greater detail?
I think they certainly could substantiate the request for a search warrant based on those facts. There's another thing, and as you said, he's got a constitutional right not to say anything, not to cooperate on any level. And in a jury trial, if it got that far, the jury would be instructed, hey, you cannot consider the defendant's inability or unwillingness to testify as evidence of guilt. But you and I also both know jurors are humans, and you start to immediately question, well, if you didn't say anything and you have a story to tell, what does that say to us? Mm-hmm. The other thing that I see in this case, which I would imagine the prosecution would use if they get to a point, again, where they can charge and proceed to trial with this case, would be, you know, the fact that he apparently has intentionally just wiped himself off the grid, so to speak. You can use certain actions outside of one's silence as what we call acknowledgement of guilt, and we can use that in certain circumstances as evidence in the trial.
Excellent. That's the kind of analysis that I was looking for, Tim Lomar. I want to switch gears just for a moment because I was reviewing some new census numbers that came out showing some of at least a bit of an exodus of people from St. Louis City and County over to St. Charles County. And I guess first and foremost, how do you deal with that exodus of individuals? What does that mean to you from the perspective of fighting crime, stopping crime, and solving crime? Does that exodus have any impact on you and your position as the St. Charles County prosecuting attorney?
Yeah, it certainly does in many ways. As many of your listeners probably know, in the last roughly 30 years, our population in St. Charles County has basically doubled. We're up over 400,000. I had a meeting with the county executive a few weeks ago, and his best estimate is we're up to around 415,000 people. Vast majority of those that have moved into St. Charles County have come from other parts of the metropolitan area. So how does that impact what we do? As I said, many ways, not the least of which is when you have that many people, you're going to have crime. And there's no question that the numbers go up. Now, it's not a dramatic increase, but it's a significant increase. We see other statistics each year, and we see the numbers of cases that we have filed, the number of warrant applications that we have reviewed consistently go up, and it's an upward trajectory. I don't think there's any end in sight to that. From a practical standpoint, if you have folks that move in from another part of the metro area, let's say North City, for example, they have associates who still live in those areas. We see a lot of times that our county jail, for example, and this number fluctuates, but if you looked at the zip codes of the inmates in our county jail, it's almost always at least 60% or higher of those inmates have zip codes outside of St. Charles County. In many of our criminal cases, we see folks who may not live here, but they have an associate who does. So they're here, at least for some period of time to commit these crimes. I think the other thing that we've seen a lot of is, and I'll just call it what it is, we see a lot of gang activity coming out of North City to St. Charles County. And the offenders are younger, they're bolder, they're oftentimes armed and dangerous. And in some of the interviews that have taken place following the arrest, you know, it's, you may recall we had this auto theft task force.
Yes.
That was initiated back in the winter of this year. It was very successful in many ways, but one, we got some interesting intelligence out of that. First of all, we knew that the vast majority of the auto thefts in the pursuit cases where the officers were able to pursue, you could see a very clear path where those pursuits terminated. And it was almost entirely either far North County or in the city past Lucas and Hunt. The other interesting bit of intelligence was, you know, some of these young guys were asking, what are you doing out here? Why would you come to St. Charles County and steal this car? And universally, they say, because this is where the money is. This is that people have nice things.
Yeah, so well, we heard that. It was a famous bank robber years ago who was asked, why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is.
Exactly.
That's
one of our young guys said, and he, this is just sort of an example of how brazen these young guys can be. He said, because the bounty is in St. Charles County. That's all you need to know.
Wow.
Wow. So that tells us a lot.
It does. It does tell you a lot. Prosecuting attorney of St. Charles County, Tim Lomar, you've shared your experience and insight with us today. Thanks so much for being with us on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for the invitation, Brad.
Hope to talk to you again. Hey, coming up after this break, we're going to talk to Christopher Elliott. He's a syndicated columnist with The Washington Post and USA Today about the relaxing ban on foreign travel and how that will impact you and I. Brad Young sitting in today for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. You know, one of the other big issues of the day is, can we travel? You know, I'm getting ready to leave for Florida in the coming weeks, and can you travel? Can you not? I mean, I don't even know what's going on with this travel restrictions. So to iron this out for us, I wanted to reach out to Chris Elliott. He's a syndicated columnist for The Washington Post and the USA Today. Hey, Chris, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks so much.
Hey, the Biden administration says it's going to relax bans on foreign travel. First of all, kind of give us an overview. What was that ban, and when does the ban relaxation, when does that go into effect?
Yeah, that's right. Just this morning, the Biden administration said that it was going to relax the restrictions for foreign nationals coming into the United States. They used to pretty much be banned from coming in, and now if you have your series of vaccinations, you're going to be allowed in with that and also with a test. They've also made some small changes regarding people coming back in, U.S. nationals coming back in. If you haven't had your shots, you're going to have a COVID test within one day of leaving. So those are the big changes.
Well, whenever foreign ban or foreign travel is banned or restricted, that's always bad news for Disney World. Every time I go to Disney World, I always feel like everyone's from another country and no one's from the United States but me. So this is good news for Disney World.
It's good news for Disney World and for the entire U.S. tourism industry, too. I mean, we've been surviving off domestic tourists for the last 18 months, and now we're going to have some foreign tourists coming in starting in early November.
Well, one of the things we've heard about is also the vaccine mandate for travel, for any air travel. Is that in place right now? And is there any discussion about making a vaccine mandate in order just to fly on a plane, even domestically?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to fly to Canada starting in October, you're going to have your shots. You have to show those. Show documentation before you leave. There is some talk now, and, you know, if you don't mind me taking a little bit of victory lap here.
No, go right ahead.
On Sunday, I had a story that said we're going to have vaccination requirements for air travel, and on Monday morning, we had the announcement. There is one more shoe that has yet to drop, and that is for domestic flights. There is some chatter now that I've been hearing about requiring a COVID vaccination documentation in order to get on a domestic flight. That could happen as soon as the holidays. We don't know if that's going to actually happen or not, but we know there's some serious discussion about it. We heard Anthony Fauci last week saying that he would support measures like that. So we just don't know if it's going to happen, and if so, when.
Now, there's a lot of legal discussion regarding the vaccine mandate for employers that President Biden announced just a couple of weeks ago that's going to be issued through OSHA. And there are some legitimate constitutional and legal issues about whether he's empowered to do that. But let's talk about travel for a moment. The White House's ability, or at least the federal government's ability, to place restrictions on air travel, that's pretty much a resolved question legally, isn't it?
Yeah, there are no such issues. Right now, for example, the CDC has a mask requirement. So if you're getting on a flight or on a train or on a bus, they have jurisdiction there, and they require that you wear a mask. That hasn't faced any court challenges at all. I like to joke around that the DOT has, the Department of Transportation, has such far-reaching authority that they could require everyone to wear green on St. Patrick's Day. It is. And so when it comes to these vaccination requirements, I don't think that they're going to face any court challenges at all. But they will face some challenges probably from the airline lobby. The airline industry has some of the best lobbyists in Washington, and they're going to fight against this because half of their customers don't have vaccines. So this is going to really affect them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other issue that I wanted to raise, and I don't know if this is something you've covered in your articles or not, but the other issue, we've seen a number of states, and the one that jumps out at me is Texas, that has passed laws or is in the process of passing laws within their state prohibiting airlines from instituting either mandates with regard to vaccines or having vaccine passports. So I'm not asking you to be an attorney or play one on TV, but do you foresee any legal issues here? Because if the federal government is requiring a vax mandate or a passport to fly domestically, but individual states are prohibiting that, could that be a focus of a legal challenge in the future?
No, not an issue at all. And I'll throw out a legal term for you, federal preemption.
Exactly.
The U.S. airline industry is actually regulated at the federal level. So states don't really have as much power as they do for maybe other forms of transportation, like cars, for example. And so if the federal government wants to, or the Department of Transportation wants to require vaccinations, it can do that even at Texas airports. You mentioned Texas, but also Florida is another one where they've been, you know, they have all these rules that say you can't have a vaccination passport, you can't require vaccines. There would be no issues at all for air travel.
So since you've done such an excellent job, Christopher Elliott, syndicated columnist for The Washington Post and USA Today, since you've done such an excellent job of prognosticating what happened today while you just wrote about it over the weekend, you mentioned that you think that we may have, and I know you emphasized the word may, have some sort of a vaccine mandate for air travel by the holidays, meaning sometime in December. Is that kind of the chatter that you're hearing?
That's what I'm hearing. Well, you know what they say, a journalist is only as good as his sources. So I don't really know for sure what's going to happen. The future hasn't happened yet. But if I had to guess, I would say, yeah, especially if Delta cases don't go down fast enough, you're mm-hmm. going to see the government taking more action and probably a domestic requirement sometime before the holidays.
And the reverse may also be true as well, right? I mean, if we do see a substantial drop in Delta cases in the coming weeks, such a decision might actually be pushed off or maybe even tabled.
You know, if we were having this conversation a year ago, I would say, yeah, absolutely. But this has been such an unpredictable pandemic, we don't know what's going to happen next, that I think not only will there be a vaccination mandate for air travel, but those mask requirements, they're going to get extended probably. So they're supposed to stop in January. I think they're going to last until the summer. And some of the people I'm talking to even say they could never go away. We may have to wear a mask for the rest of our lives on a plane.
Ugh, boy, stupid COVID. That's the hashtag that we repeat around our house on a daily basis. Christopher Elliott, syndicated columnist for The Washington Post and the USA Today, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
You bet.
Appreciate it. You know, one of the things that Christopher Elliott mentioned was rules. And if you think about the rules that we've been told that we have to follow. To me, the one that I always thought was somebody just made this up was the 6-foot rule. You know, you have to stay 6 feet away. Now, Dave, you're laughing at that.
Well, it went from 6 to 5 to 3, and it's just like a number that just kept changing.
Yeah.
It's strange.
And I always thought that someone just made this up, and I even said that publicly many times. Well, I got it confirmed today. Scott Gottlieb, who is a former FDA commissioner, he is also on the board of directors at Pfizer. He even said today it was over the weekend on Face the Nation, that whole 6-foot distancing rule, it was just made up. There, nobody knows where it came from. It wasn't based on any science or any studies. It was just made up. And then once people started repeating the made up story, they just ran with it. Of course, if they ran with it, they still had to stay 6 feet apart. the rules we have to live by. Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon this afternoon. Hey, we've got more coming up next hour, so don't go away. 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.